الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا مزيدا إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، we start off today in our أصول الثلاثة class on chapter number 3. Last week we finished chapter number 2 with ولاء and براء at the end. We start chapter 3 and we said, if you remember when I gave you the structural breakdown of the book, we said this is the core of the book. Chapter 3 is the book. According to some, this is the chapter that has the three real official main fundamental principles, what you call fundamental principles. Chapter 1 had four introductory principles, fundamental principles. Chapter 2 had three matters or issues. Chapter 3 is the real object and subject matter of the book. It's what the book is titled after. Meaning when you say al-usul al-thalatha or al-thalathat al-usul, the three fundamental principles, it is this chapter. And he starts off the chapter saying, اِعْلَمْ أَرْشَدَكَ اللَّهُ لِطَاعَتِهِ اِعْلَمْ أَرْشَدَكَ اللَّهُ لِطَاعَتِهِ. No, may Allah direct you to obedience to Him. No, may Allah direct you to obedience to Him. We spoke on why the author starts with dua at least twice before. And he did that before, that's why we spoke about it. Over here he says, "Me arshadaka," means to direct you. Arshadaka from ar-rushd, meaning, may Allah direct you to uprightness upon the way of truth. Ar-rashad is the path of guidance, like the verse says, وَقَالَ الَّذِي آمَنَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُونِي أَهْدِكُمْ سَبِيلَ الرَّشَادِ. The man who believed said, oh my people, follow me. Believer said, follow me. I will guide you to the way of Rashad, the way of right conduct and guidance. So Rashad in the verse means correct path or guidance. In here, guidance is four types. Overall, guidance is four types. Al-Hidayah al-Amma, the first one, Hidayah al-Amma al-Mushtaraka bayna al-Khalq. It's mentioned in the verse, الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. Our Lord is the one who gave everything, each thing and everything, its form and nature, and guided it. He created everything and He guided it. He gave each person his physical image. He gave physical parts and features and then guided each part to what it was created for. He gave form and nature and guided it to work for what it was created for. That's number one. Number two is hidayatul bayani wal dalala wal ta'rif li najdi al khair wal shar. Guidance to direct and show you what? The right and evil path. This guidance shows both ways and what to choose. But it doesn't necessarily include or mean anything about the choice itself. We guided him to the right and guided them to the path of hell. We told them follow this and stay away from this. That's all it means. It's mentioned in the two-worded verse of Surah Al-Balad, وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ. Shown him the two ways, the good and evil. It's to show the good and evil, that's all it is. It's the verse mentioned in Surah Fussilat, وَأَمَّا ثَمُودُ فَهَدَيْنَاهُمْ فَاسْتَحَبُّ الْعَمَى عَلَى الْهُدَى. أي بَيَّنَّا لَهُمْ وَأَرْشَدْنَاهُمْ وَدَلَلْنَاهُمْ. Thamud, we showed them the guided way. But they chose blindness over guidance. So Allah showed them, but they chose blindness. And then it's also in Surah Ash-Shura, وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. That's the second one. The third guidance is هِدَايَةُ التَّوْفِيقِ وَالْإِلْهَامِ. This is the guidance where one is actually on the right path. This is the one that's from Allah to the righteous people. Messengers show the path, but this guidance is totally from Allah. In fact, Allah denied that messengers have this type of guidance power. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهِ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. In Surah Al-Qasas, you can't guide who you want. وكذلك أوحينا إليك روحا من أمرنا ما كنت تدري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان ولكن جعلناه نورا نهدي به من نشاء من عبادنا وإنك لتهدي إلى صراط مستقيم صراط الله الذي له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض. In this verse he said, the messenger guides in a way, but it's not the guidance that of tawfiq from Allah. The success comes from Allah. So before we go on, what's the difference between the second and the third guidance? So you'll never forget it. The second guidance means you have two avenues. Here's the right avenue, here's the wrong avenue. Stay away from the wrong one, follow the right one. That's all it is, number two. Category number three means one is actually guided by Allah. And we ask Allah to be among that. Now the fourth type of guidance is guidance to heaven or hell when one is taken to him. الهداية إلى الجنة والنار إذا سيق الإنسان إليهما. That's mentioned in the verse. سيهديهم ويصلح بالهم ويدخلهم الجنة تعرف عليهم. سورة محمد. He will guide them to the path of Jannah. سيدخلهم الجنة عرف عليهم. Or in Surah As-Saffat, مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ فَهْدُوهُمْ إِلَى صِرَاطِ الْجَحِيمِ وَقِفُوهُمْ إِنَّهُمْ مَسْئُلُونَ. And guide them to hellfire. Here, in this booklet, the author is making dua that Allah guides you, directs you to the path, the guided path, which is the number three. اِعْلَمْ أَرْشَدَكَ اللَّهُ لِطَاعَتِهِ. Ta'a is obedience, conformity, with what is required by doing what is commanded to be done and avoiding what is forbidden. Conformity with what is required by doing what one is ordered to do and to avoid what is forbidden and sinful. Okay, let's go on with our phrase. اعلم أرشدك الله لطاعته أن الحنيفية ملة إبراهيم. No, may Allah direct you to His obedience, the Al-Hanifiyya, Millat Ibrahim. Al-Hanifiyya, Millat Ibrahim. What is this Al-Hanifiyya, Millat Ibrahim? And it's in the Quran many times. It's all over the Quran. It's also mentioned in the Sunnah, in Surah Al-Baqarah. وَقَالُوا كُونُوا هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارَى تَحْتَدُوا قُلْ بَلْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. In Surah Ali Imran, مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَهُودِيًّا وَلَا نَصْرَانِيًّا وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. قُلْ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ فَاتَّبِعُوا مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. In Surah Ali Imran, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ دِينًا مِمَّنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ وَاتَّبَعَ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. سُورَةُ النِّسَاءِ. فلما رأى الشمس بازغة قال هذا ربي هذا أكبر. فلما أفلت قال يا قوم إني بريء مما تشركون إني وجهت وجهي للذي فطر السماوات والأرض حنيفا. إن سلطان أنعام. قل إنني هداني ربي إلى صراط مستقيم دينا قيما ملة إبراهيم حنيفا وما كان من المشركين. إن سلطان الأنعام. إن إبراهيم كان أمة قانتا لله حنيفا ولم يكن من المشركين. سورة النحل. What's this ملة إبراهيم حنيفة mentioned? This is just some verses. There's more. Before we go deeper, simply put the definition. Here's the definition. Al-Hanifiyya is the religion that is free from shirk and founded upon purity and sincerity of intention for Allah. It's the true and straight pure religion. It is Islam. Now let's go to the root word and see the connection in the meaning. In the real Arabic, the original Arabic, the old Arabs would say رِجْلٌ حَنْفَاءٌ with a كَسْرَ أَنْ ذَرَاءٌ وَرَجُلٌ أَحْنَفٌ أَفَتْحَ أَنْ ذَرَاءٌ. The first one means رِجْلٌ حَنْفَاءٌ means a leg that's حَنْفَاءٌ. Leg that's حَنْفَاءٌ. Second one means a man who is أحنف. A woman, a female poet called Umm al-Ahnaf used to say, وَاللَّهِ لَوْ لَا حَنْفٌ بِرِجْلِهِ مَا كَانَ فِي فِتْيَانِكُمْ مِنْ مِثْلِهِ. A female poet used to say about someone, using this root word, had he not had hanaf in his legs, there would not be in your youth anyone compared to him. He has a deficiency, otherwise he'd be the best one. We're using her line of poetry for linguistic purposes. Why would they describe legs or a man as being ahnaf or hanaf? Why would they use that? Because linguistically, when Arabs used to use it, ahnaf, for the legs or talk about a man, they meant that person has pigeon toes or what's called intoeing. When the toes are pointed toward each other, most people's toes are, normal people, are straightforward. Some toes point towards each other. We commonly refer to that today as pigeon toes, or more medically appropriately called intoeing. It's when the front portion of the feet at the rest turns inward. Turns inward. Look at that. Turns inward. Okay, now you're saying here in your mind, you gave us the definition of the shar'i meaning, that it's a purity and sincerity and away from shirk and all that. And then you went a million miles away explaining the linguistic rule meaning of Hanifa. What's the term itself? It means linguistically. What's the purpose? The purpose I did that is to draw a connection between the linguistic meaning and the shar'i meaning that we took. Because like Islam, literally it means linguistically, it's submission. That's it. With shara'i meaning is submission to Allah with tawheed, following in obedience and refraining from shirk. Just like in tajweed. For example, the noon is sakina rules. Al-idhar, al-idgham, al-ikhfa, al-iqlab. There's always a connection between the literal linguistic meaning and the shara'i meaning. There's always a connection. Now, what's the connection between the linguistic meaning of Hanifa in the shar'i Islamic meaning that we mentioned? The connection is that Hanifa literally means to lean, to turn, to incline. And the connection is, it's to incline and turn totally to Tawheed, lean towards Tawheed, and lean away from shirk. Some defined Hanifiyya, some scholars, as turning to Allah and turning away from other than Allah. Because it means turn to. Turning to Tawheed and turning away from shirk. That's the connection. Al-Qurtubi said, Hanifa ma'ilan an al-adiyan al-makruha ila al-haq deen Ibrahim. Hanifa is turning away from dislike faith to the true religion of Ibrahim. Ibn Ashur in his book At-Tahrir wa At-Tanwir, which is a 30 volume tafsir, he said, Hanifiyya or Hanif is when you veer off track. He stated that it was considered a praise to Ibrahim. He needed to veer off track because during his time, the people were in deep darkness and astray, so he turned away from that course. He turned away, he veered away, meaning he veered off the course of shirk, he turned away from shirk to, and he turned to the path of Tawheed. Sometimes it's good to be different. Sometimes it's best to take a detour that no one else has taken, or a detour everyone else has warned you about. Ibn Ashur said, after that, Al-Hanifiyyah became a symbol or an honorary term of praise in honor of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Another point on Al-Hanifiyyah is that it also means Islam. And Islam means Hanifiyyah. They can be used interchangeably during Ibrahim's time and during today in our millah. Today, not many would understand if you say, I'm on the Hanifiyyah. Most you'd have to sit and explain it to him. Or if you tell him, I follow the Hanifiyyah, if he asks you, what's your religion? Just like not many during Ibrahim's time understood what Islam is. مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَهُودِيًّا وَلَا نَصْرَانِيًّا وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا. Ibrahim was neither a Jew nor a Christian, but he was a Hanifa. A Hanifa, he mentioned Hanifa first, then Muslim. Hanifa and Muslima. Both terms were used there. Ibrahim turned away from both courses, both religions, and turned to Hanifa Muslima. We need to know that word in depth because it is a word that's very important and essential to the people of La ilaha illallah, especially the strongholders of Tawheed, those who study and want to master Tawheed. Ibn Ashur said Ibrahim used Hanifa in replace of Islam during his time at times because people back then didn't know what Islam is, so he used Hanifa because they knew what Hanifa was. Even though Ibrahim called himself Muslim, he used Hanifa because his people didn't know it. When he built the Kaaba, what was he saying? Him and his son. رَبَّنَا وَجْعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ. Oh Allah, make us Muslims. But then he used Hanifa. Why? Ibn Ashur said he used it because the people during his time didn't know what Muslim was. They knew what Hanifa was. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِن كُنْتُمْ فِي شَكٍّ مِّن دِينِ فَلَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِينَ تَعْبُدُونَ مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ وَلَكِنْ أَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ الَّذِي يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ وَأُمِرْتُ أن أكون من المؤمنين وأن أقم وجهك للدين حنيفة ولا تكون من المشركين. In Surah Yunus, Allah tells the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, وأن أقم, you, direct your face, O Muhammad. Allah is directing the Prophet to follow this Hanifiyyah. Direct your face, O Muhammad, entirely towards the religion of Hanif. In similar verse in Surah Al-Rum, فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهِ لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Even the Prophet ﷺ in his hadith said, إِنِّي أُرْسِلْتُ بِحَنِيفِيَّةٍ سَمْحَةٍ. In Musnad Ahmad, I was sent with Hanifiyyah Samha. And when he was asked, the Prophet ﷺ, what's the religion most beloved to Allah? In Musnad Ahmad, what is it? He said, الْحَنِيفِيَّةَ السَّمْحَةَ. In Musnad Ahmad, when he was asked, what's the most religion that's beloved to Allah? He said, الْحَنِيفِيَّةَ السَّمْحَةَ. What's الْحَنِيفِيَّةَ السَّمْحَةَ? We took الْحَنِيفِيَّةَ. السَّمْحَةَ means the easygoing religion. The religion that's very easy. And as you know, our religion is founded on being easy. If you look at our religion overall, it's very easy. And when matters are very difficult on one where he can't do them, they turn to be easy, with the exception rules that we have. However, there may be some details that are difficult and that one has to do if they're under his mean. It doesn't mean there's some aspects that are not difficult. There is some aspects that are difficult. Now, the point is that Hanifiyyah and Islam can be used interchangeably. You have to understand that. The last detail on this Hanifiyyah issue is that don't get Hanifiyyah and Ahnaf messed up. Al-Hanifiyyah, the Millah of Ibrahim is one thing, and the Ahnaf, the followers of Abu Hanifa, which is the school of fiqh that Abu Hanifa established, that's a total different thing. Before we move on, let your fingers relax and your minds relax a moment. Let me tell you this personal dream that I always remember when I talk about this issue. 35 years ago or so, or close to it, as I always say, Islam back then wasn't popular or common. It was the movements on the scene were the secular movements, the nationalistic movements, the communist movements, the socialist movements. They were dominating even among those who claimed to be Muslim. Marcus and Lenin were like the stars and heroes for many who call themselves Muslim. And all over the world, and more particular, in countries with calamities, in countries that are trying to liberate lands taken from them. Allah didn't take our lands and put us in the predicament that we're in today for anything small or vain, or because He oppressed us, ma'ad Allah. He touched the ummah for a tiny bit of their sins and forgave Allah. I remember my father bringing group after group of Muslims who were Muslims, trying to convince them that Allah exists, because now suddenly they adopt communist and atheist ideologies. Some were growing beards, not to look like our beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but rather to look like Castro and Guevara. Truly, I'm telling you facts. Others seen Jamal Abdel Nasser in Egypt and his nationalistic movement, and Moshe Al-Aflaq's movement as the route to victory. Then others went with the secular route of Yasser Arafat. Each path stinkier and filthier and more rotten than the other path. The few who were called religious were at many times people of bid'ah. And then there was always the few who are on the truth. Many of you don't know this historic background because you were either young or not born back then. Actually, I myself was young, a child. So basically, Islam wasn't as popular, as common as you see today, or anywhere close to that. It was during those times that my father wanted to continue studies in Medina to face the challenges and doubts and better his knowledge, even though at that time he was very knowledgeable and he had already learned with many mashayikh. From the will of Allah, and his biggest blessing on our family is, and it's rare to see, is that I told you people molt in their belief. They change and they molt in their belief and they change with how the news change and how the circumstance and the government change. But the manhaj I'm on today, wallahi al-azim, is the manhaj my father taught me when I was a little kid. Not a tiny bit change. And I say alhamdulillah thumma alhamdulillah that one had istiqama from young days and didn't molt and change. Having lived through this pre-Islamic awakening stage, and you see what the drastic ongoing changes going on in the world, I really make dua and very much anticipate that within this decade, the ummah will wake up to a sudden day of victory. A day that will please every believer and seeker of peace and displease every tyrant and oppressor and enemy of Allah. The day that we all long for when we hear of the Khilafah established on this earth. I believe inshaAllah ta'ala will be in this decade. So my father in the 70s had the ambition to study in this university no one knew about. And he wanted me and my two sisters to go along and memorize the Quran. And of course, my mother, may Allah protect my sisters, and also my mother, may Allah raise her rank to Firdaus. At that time, many ulama had come and visited us in the States. And they seen my father's da'wah activity, which impressed them. And they encouraged my father to cut his da'wah activity or pause it, go to Medina, and come back, which only added more inspiration to what he wanted. And among those who visited was Sheikh Al-Harakan, rahimahullah, who's the head of the Muslim World League back then. And Abdullah bin Qa'ud, who was among the high ulama, rahmatullah alayhi, also died. There's also Sheikh Sa'd Al-Husayn. He was in charge of the Islamic affairs in Jordan for Saudiya. He involved his two brothers, Ibrahim al-Husayn, who was Ibn Baz's right-hand man and trustee for decades. And then they had a third brother, which is Salih al-Husayn, who you may have heard of, just died recently, months ago. He was the head of the committee for the Haram in Medina and Haram in Mecca. And many others who all pushed and helped my father to fulfill his dream to go to Medina. And many helped him get accepted. All those who I mentioned are dead with the exception of Sheikh Sa'd. May Allah have mercy on those who died of them. Let me tell you another side issue. Sheikh Sa'd al-Husayn, who's the head of the Tuharam, who just died recently, he's probably one of the most humble men you'll ever meet in your life, and possibly one of the richest at the same time. When I used to sit in the Haram and memorize the Quran every day from Asr to Isha, and my father be in a halaqa with other mashayikh learning, he would take me and say, come on, let's go have lunch, you come back, your father's not going to get mad. And really, my father, that was the only person my father would trust me to go with. And I would go with him, and one thing I learned about this man is how he was teaching me how dutiful he was to his mom. He told me if his mom is on a higher level, he won't go above that level and sleep. He'd stay on a first level. If she's on the second level, he'll stay on the first or second level and sleep. He won't go on a higher level and disrespect her. He took it as a form of disrespect. Even though he was in a high position and very wealthy, and it shows you how some take their mother and be dutiful to him. So take advantage if your mom or your parent is alive and be dutiful to them. So my father had obstacles in going, and these people helped him. Among the obstacles was, for example, that he couldn't take the family. Back then it was impossible to take a family. Allah made it easy, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he made it easy out of his love to my father, because that's who he grants knowledge to. مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ الدِّينِ. If Allah likes someone, if Allah wants good in someone, he will grant him fiqh of the deen. That's the hadith, the clear hadith. So like I said, one of the obstacles was that back then it was impossible almost, actually was not known among any student, to take his family along with him. That doesn't happen back then. And if you try to do it illegally, they had checkpoints back then every 2 weeks set up. Medina was very small. And they had checkpoints where they would clear out anyone who was illegal. Unlike today where there's permits for students in Medina, and also there's other ways the students find around it, taking them. My father wanted us all to benefit, and he wanted us to memorize the Quran. And if they decline us, he's gonna reject the acceptance. So in the midst of the days and spent in anticipation and looking forward to going to Medina, and if they'll all allow us all to go, he had a dream, and he seen himself riding on a horse entering Medina with Ibrahim alayhi salam, welcoming him to Medina. And he was telling Ibrahim my father in the dream, alayhi salam, you will be on the Hanifiyya. You will master the Hanifiyya. You will live on it and you will die on it. Or a statement closer to that. May Allah make that true. Months after that dream, we were all in Medina. And at the front gate of Medina, the university, my father looked at it and said, you remember the dream I told you about? This is exactly where I seen in the dream. This is the scene I seen in the dream. And I told you this because every time I remember or teach or mention Hanifiyya, or a lot of times when I recite it or read it, I remember the dream my father had. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep you and our beloved followers and students all over the world steadfast on Millat Ibrahim Hanifa, that we live on it, that we die on it, and that we be resurrected on it. Now let's go back to our text. اعلم أرشدك الله لطاعته أن الحنيفية ملة إبراهيم. Okay, you can pick up your pen, snap out of it. You're still thinking about the dream. اعلم أرشدك الله لطاعته أن الحنيفية ملة إبراهيم. اعلم أرشدك الله لطاعته أن الحنيفية ملة إبراهيم. الملة ملة. The word ملة means the way. Here it means the way which Ibrahim followed in religion. Milla is the way in which Ibrahim followed in religion. اعلم أرشدك الله لطاعتي أن الحنيفية ملة إبراهيم. ملة إبراهيم. The next word is, we took Milla, now the next word is Ibrahim. We know Ibrahim عليه السلام, the man Allah said about, واتخذ الله إبراهيم خليلا. ومن أحسن دينا ممن أسلم وجهه لله وهو محسن. Who's better in religion than one who submits his face to Allah while he's a muhsin? وَاتَّبَعَ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. and follows the religion of Ibrahim Hanifa. وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. And Allah took Ibrahim as his intimate friend. And Allah took him as his friend. And Allah chose him as his friend. He is the Khalil. وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. The Khalil of the Most Merciful is Ibrahim. He's the father of the prophets. And his way is mentioned repeatedly so that it will be adhered to. It will be followed. قَدْ كَانَتْ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. You remember the verse that we took yesterday, last week. قَدْ كَانَتْ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Here, Ibrahim is a qudwa. He is an example for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is a qudwa and he's an example for this ummah. He is the one man nation. إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ كَانَ أُمَّةٌ. Allah gave him wisdom when he was a young boy, as he said in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ رُشْدَهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَكُنَّا بِعَالِمِينَ. We bestowed a four time on Ibrahim his guidance. And we were well acquainted with him and his belief to the oneness of Allah. A boy, raised in a house where his father made statues to be worshipped instead of Allah. He was worshipped or raised in an environment where statues were worshipped all around him. That was his environment. That's how he grew up. He stood against the people of his time. وَكَذَلِكَ نُرِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ مَلَكُوتَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. We want to show Ibrahim the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. And that he be one of those who have faith with certainty. فَلَمَّا جَنَّ عَلَيْهِ اللَّيْلُ رَأَى كَوْكَبًا قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي فَلَمَّا أَفَلَ قَالَ لَا أُحِبُّ الْآفِلِينَ. When the night covered him, when the night came over darkness, in the darkness came, he saw a star, he said, that's my Lord. But when it set, he said, I don't like that which sets. When he saw the moon, فَلَمَّا رَأَى الْقَمَرَ بَازِغًا, he said, this is my Lord. قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي. When it said, he said, unless my Lord guides me, I will surely be among those who are astray. لَإِنْ لَمْ يَهْدِنِي رَبِّي لَأَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الضَّالِّينَ. فَلَمَّا رَأَى الْقَمَرَ بَازِغًا قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي. A young man who stands tough and teaches us the tactical debate to impose on your opponent what they believe in a way that shows them how ridiculous and pathetic that belief is. Impose the idea on them to show them how pathetic and ridiculous it is. When he seen the moon, when he seen the sun, he said, this is my Lord. When it set, he said, إِنِّي بَرِئٌ مِمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ. I disown that which you worship. I have إِنِّي وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ. I turn my face to the one who created the heavens and the earth, حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا. I turn my face to Allah and only Allah. Turn my face. That's Hanifa. I turn my face. Ibrahim is the ideal da'iya. He is the one who has wisdom in da'wah. He was the one who has manners in da'wah. It's statements he said when he said to his father, Ya Abati, Ya Abati. He's talking to a father who's opposed him, who was his enemy, yet he's still telling him, Ya Abati, inni qad ja'ani min al-ilm. Oh my father, have some knowledge. Ya Abati, la ta'budu shaytan. Oh my father, don't worship the shaytan. Ya Abati, inni akhaf. Oh my father, I fear that the hell's gonna touch you. And then when he disbelieved and he got arrogant, he said, Salamun alayk. Look at the manners. Look at the wisdom in da'wah. When matters got serious, he got serious. He displayed his bara' from them. And he said, كَفَرْنَا بِكُمْ وَبَدَى بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةُ وَالْبَغْضَاءُ. We disbelieve in you in that which we believe. And hatred and animosity has become between us. When they stepped it up, he stepped it up. And he said, وَتَاللَّهِ لَأَكِيدَنَّ أَصْنَامَكُمْ بَعْدَ أَن تُوَلُّوا مُدْبِرِينَ. Wallahi, I shall plot a plan and destroy your idols after you've gone away and turned your backs. He destroyed the statues into ruins except the big one. فَجَعَلَهُمْ جُدَاذًا إِلَّا كَبِيرًا لَهُمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ يَرْجِعُونَ. قَالُوا مَنْ فَعَلَ هَذَا. Who has done this to our gods? Even though their lords were dust and dirt, they still called their lords, lords. When the fitra goes from hanifiyya to its opposite, it no longer has sense. They're calling dust their lord. قالوا سمعنا فتى. We heard a young boy. In court, he was the one man nation. They took him to court. He was a one man nation that spoke like a real man, even though he was a young teenager. He didn't cower and dilute his teaching or back away. He said, "Offen lakum, fie upon you and that which you worship besides Allah. Have you no sense?" قالوا حرقوا. They said, "Burn him." What did he say? They said, "Burn him." He said, "حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل." Allah said, "كوني بردا وسلاما على إبراهيم." Be cool and safe on Ibrahim. This is our Ibrahim عليه السلام. Khalil, the one Allah took Khalil. The one man nation. The one Allah says, he's a one man nation. The one Allah says, he's a Khalil. The one we're ordered to follow in his footsteps. The one our Prophet was ordered to follow in his footsteps. The universal reviver of Tawheed on this earth. Ibrahim kana ummah. Allah gives certification to this man as being a one-man nation. It wasn't through luxury and comfort that he got it. It was through hardships and difficulties and trials that he got it. It was through wala and bara, through firmness and steadfastness, through da'wah and belief. Unwavering belief. May Allah bring about in this ummah more one-man nation. Or more, we need women. One woman nations to revive this Hanifiyyah of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now you know what the author meant in his statement, Al-Hanifiyyah Millat Ibrahim. When you read it in different forms throughout the Quran or in the Sunnah or when you see it anywhere, now you know what Al-Hanifiyyah Millat Ibrahim is. Okay, it's Salah time. We'll take time for Salah, then we'll come back. We have, we'll take about half an hour to 45 minutes of questions when we return. Those of you who leave before the questions, make sure you check your emails and or your text, whatever they send you, to see if there's class next week, because I'm not sure if they're going to be class. So make sure to check that. جزاكم الله خير وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.